Hello, welcome to the Adam Fitch podcast. I'm your really, really tired host, Adam Fitch. Today, I'm joined by Ben Goldhaber, aka Fishsticks, aka the CEO and co-founder of Duked, or is it Duked.gg? Which one are we going for there?
It's Duked.gg, just because I want people to know the URL, but it's actually just Duked, yes.
I thought as much. I understand what's going on. So, the whole premise of this podcast so far, in terms of the whole series, has been for me to speak to people from all corners of the industry. So I've had merchandise people, like team owners, hosts, casters, you name it. I'm getting there. I'm trying to cover all sectors. And I would say your expertise seems to lie in broadcasting. Would you say that's fair?
Relatively. No. I've been working in esports for about 10 years, but it's a lifelong passion. Mm-hmm. And something that I think, just like almost every single person that you're probably talking to on these podcasts, it was something that started as a passion, started as a player, did commentary, did shoutcasting, did tournament organizing, did a little bit of everything. But I would say probably the last 10 years has been marked most notably by working in and around streaming. So in that sense, yes, you're correct.
Okay, so I'm going to misspeak here, I'm sure of it, but are you classed as one of the founding members of Twitch?
That's actually correct. Yeah, okay. I was there at Justin TV in 2011 when Emmett Shear and Kevin Lin were like, we want to do gaming, I think. And then I was there for a couple of months before the launch of Twitch, and there through the launch of Twitch. So founding member, yes.
You got it. What was your kind of responsibility? What were you overlooking at that point in time when they were just making the switch into Twitch? That rhymed that.
Well, I was a total newbie at the time, just getting my feet wet in esports over the last year or two from a professional standpoint. So the one thing that I did have that was valuable to the Justin TV team at the time was connections to people who were creating specifically esports streams. So I was basically hired because of this. I had built a small project website called gamescast.tv with a couple of friends, and the whole point of gamescast.tv was to aggregate esports streams from the various different platforms. And in doing this, I had a bunch of different connections with those people. So I think the Justin TV team was like, okay, he already knows everyone producing esports content at this time. We want to get into esports. So it was a really natural fit. And my first role was really getting people to switch from Ustream, Livestream, Own3D. Those were the major three platforms that we just poached everyone from.
Okay, and we all know the story of Twitch from there as to how the position it is in now, both in, I guess, gaming and esports. So at what point did you decide to leave Twitch, and what was the reasoning behind that?
So I ended up leaving Twitch after over 7 years with the company in 2018, I guess. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's been a long time now. In June. I think I was part of a very old guard at Twitch who was part of the massive growth and played a lot of different integral roles throughout the years. But I think it's kind of natural for companies as they go from like tiny little startups to huge corporations to change a lot. Their DNA changes a lot. Their culture changes a lot. And your relative value to the company changes a lot. I think I was still doing very important things, but I was really stagnant in terms of career at Twitch for a long time. Wasn't able to hire people for my team despite trying over and over again. Wasn't able to get internal resources to build the things that I wanted to build, including an esports portal. So I just mentioned Gamescast TV, which was 10 years ago, which was an esports aggregator. I was at Twitch for a long time and wanted to build an esports aggregator. Was never able to get those resources. And that's part of the reason why I eventually just bounced out of there. It was lack of career progression, lack of really feeling like I was valued by the company. And I've just had this strong passion to go do this thing that I've been wanting to do for 10 years.
So you go from one of the biggest companies in gaming and esports, like, as you say, a huge corporation, to founding a startup. That's quite the change, you know? So what's really the inspiration behind Duked.gg, we'll call it, so we can keep getting the plugs in.
Yeah.
Because I will be completely honest, and I'm speaking probably from a place of ignorance, but like I'm not sure I fully see the purpose yet beyond aggregating a bunch of streams from different games, right? I guess all the different tournaments going on within one game. So say CSGO, for example, that can have very busy weekends and someone might want a place to go to watch them all, even though you've only got one set of eyes and can't watch two streams at once. So this is where my problem comes in, trying to understand exactly as to what the vision is behind the company and the platform. I noticed you've also got an esports calendar, which is obviously useful, but then that's available in other places as well, maybe not as in depth as yours in terms of the links and such, but I mean they certainly exist elsewhere. So I'm just kind of wanting to know where you think it exactly fits in and what gap it's filling in the market, because I'm, as I say, speaking from a place of probably ignorance and not fully understanding the vision just yet, I'm not too sure. So I would love to hear it from, obviously, from yourself.
No problem. Full transparency, we're still trying to figure it out. So we launched juke.gg in November. So we're only about 2.5 months into even having a product out to the public. I think some of the things that you touched on are extremely valid. If you're someone like Adam Fitch and you follow esports as your day job, you probably know how to get to the content that you want. You probably generally know what esports events are happening on the weekends. And you know, maybe you don't know what channel they're on or exactly when they're starting, but you can go out and dig for that information and find it. To be honest, like when we first set out to build Juked, it was for people like me and you, and because I felt this frustration as an esports fan that you never know consistently what's happening every weekend. You never know exactly when it starts. You always forget what channel it's on. Finding the VODs is a pain in the ass. And then if you want to find the brackets or the standings, you have to go to Liquipedia or HLTV or one of these other sites. So there's a lot of layers of friction when it comes to simply staying on top of the esports that you follow. Even if you follow them closely, there's a lot of layers of friction. And that was kind of the initial impetus for building Juked, was people like us who follow multiple different esports. I don't know why my camera unfocused, but and just have a lot of trouble doing it because it's a pain in the ass. Now, just to be super transparent with you, since we've launched, I think we've found that, exactly like I said, like we're solving some annoyances, but you know, you still probably do have ways of finding this content if you really, really want to. So I think what we've found so far since we launched just a couple of months ago is that Juked is actually, it's a nice to have tool for hardcore esports fans, but for actually the lower, like if hardcore is like the center ring, like the ring outside of that, of like people who like esports, who have watched tournaments in the past, who maybe want to watch more but don't know how to, that's who we're finding really, really need Juked, because they don't know how to find this content otherwise. So I think just to come back to your general question, what hole are we trying to fill in the industry? I think we're trying to make it easier to become a fan of esports. We're trying to make it easier to watch more content than you would have been able to otherwise and enjoy that content. That's really what we set out to do in the first place.
Okay. So easier in the sense of being able to find what suits you, right? Because I've actually got a question. I don't know if you've looked into this. I assume you have. If not, then you're welcome. Do you find with the users that are on your website, do you find that they tend to bounce around different games? So would you see that they go and view CSGO, and then you can see that the same user has actually gone to the League of Legends page, or has gone to check out what's going on in TFT, blah blah blah, PUBG, whatever it may be? I don't think you've got PUBG on the site yet, actually, but you know what I'm saying. Do you see the user journey like going through different games, or is it they tend to kind of stick to one game or one genre and just mingle within there?
Yeah, and this is a great question. We do support PUBG, by the way, so I'll
the last time I checked, it wasn't on there. I apologize.
Yeah, there's nothing going on right now. I don't think they've announced anything.
Yeah, they are. They've got their PUBG Global Series, but we won't go into that because I will fill up a full hour of rants. So,
okay, there you go. So this is actually a question that, or a debate I've had with my friends and peers and other people in esports for actually the whole of this last decade. I've always had this idea bumping around in my head of creating a single destination for esports. And throughout the vast majority of the 10 years that I've been working in the industry professionally, my friends, my peers, everyone kind of has had this belief in their head that your average esports fan only really watches one game, mm-hmm. and they don't give a shit about what's happening in a different game. Now, I think there's grains of truth to that. And I think it's probably changed a lot over time, but my belief has always been that if I exist and I have all these friends that are similar to me that like to follow multiple esports, there must be more people. There must be at least a somewhat substantial amount of people like me out there. And we've really tried to drill into this when we're talking to users and talking to esports fans and running surveys. We've been sending surveys to our users every single month. We've been looking at what they're doing. We set up this profile favorites features where users can set which games they want to feature. And the vast majority of esports fans that we talk to watch like 5 games. Maybe 2 of those games are the games that they love and that they follow religiously. But I would ask you, Adam, and I'd ask anyone listening to this podcast, think about your behavior. How many esports titles did you watch over the course of the last year? I mean, the story that I hear from almost everyone that I talk to is like, I really follow CSGO and League of Legends like religiously. But I like how consistent the league format is for Overwatch League, and I watch a lot of that. And I saw Rocket League highlights on YouTube, and I tuned into Evo, and I tuned into the International when that was happening. Or I saw some of the Rainbow Six Major. Like, this is the average person I'm talking to has this kind of behavior. So we're kind of betting that there are people like us out there, because if all you watch is Counter-Strike, you can go to HLTV and you're probably fine. Mm-hmm. I think we do some things better than HLTV, but then HLTV does some things better than us.
What do you do better than HLTV? I want to know.
Focusing on the watching experience. HLTV, 5 clicks in, you can get to the stream, but we're presenting you all of the streams and all of the VODs in, I think, a really user-friendly way. We're making it so we have a filter system on the calendar, so you can filter by just CSGO, and you can filter by featured events versus like everything. So I think we have the best editorialized calendar. You can open up Juked and instantly see all of the streams on one page. We have a VOD system that allows you to search by your favorite teams and find those VODs within seconds. I don't think HLTV has those things to the same level. Okay. But I think really the differentiating factor in our focus with the product, if you go to Juked, you'll see it instantly, is watching the streams. HLTV has data that we don't, although we do want to strive to get towards getting more data for individual games. But when you come to Juked, it's all about, I'm home from work, I'm on my lunch break, it's a Saturday, I just want to watch some esports. If you come to Juked, you're going to be able to do that.
Okay, so what would you say you add to the viewing experience that I wouldn't get if I just went to the Twitch page or Mixer? Well, I'm never going to go to Mixer. If I go to the Twitch page and try to watch it live there, what am I going to get that's different that makes the viewing experience more pleasurable for me, really?
Yeah, a couple things. If you open up a stream on Juked, if you scroll down below the video player, you'll see I just clicked on, it's a little bit quiet right now, but I just clicked on the Hainan Masters Invitational. It's a Dota 2 tournament, right? Mm-hmm. I click on this and then I scroll below the video player and I see it's OG Seed, which is OG's up-and-coming team.
Academy feeding team, yeah.
Yeah, Academy team. And then versus a team called Viking. Okay, I chose a bad example because I don't know either of these teams well, but you see the rosters on this page. You can see that it's a loser's bracket semifinal match. Okay. It's a best of 3. It's currently 0-0. You can click and open the brackets and see all that. That's all on the same page as the broadcast. You don't have to go anywhere else. If you continue to scroll down, you see the schedule. So you can set reminders for the matches happening in the future. And, I'll just scroll all the way down to the bottom and see that the grand finals are happening February 1st. So I'll just go ahead and set a reminder right now for that. So I'll get an email and push notification when that happens. So those are kind of the advantages that we have today. Mm-hmm. I mean, number one is just making it easy to find the stream and know when it's happening. But number two is giving you player rosters, context. It's a loser bracket semifinal match. It's a best of 3. Here are the brackets all in one place. Of course, you could go to Liquipedia for that. or GOSU Gamers or whatever, but we're kind of consolidating all of that within the viewing experience.
That makes sense. So how sustainable is it for your team to be occupying all of that information for every single event, for every single match? Like, I know you say you're hoping to get data across, or there are data solutions, agencies and firms and such out there which you could potentially partner with, but at the moment I'm assuming that's a lot of like manual work. How sustainable and how possible is it for you to be occupying those and getting them accurate and correct for every single game and everything that falls within those games, you know?
It's 50% manual, 50% working with a provider. So we're working with a provider called Abios to support.
I was going to suggest those to you actually, so yeah. There we go.
I actually had an email exchange with the Abios guys while I was at Twitch maybe 6 years ago when they're we want to be the calendar for esports. You should work with us. So I've known those guys for a super long time.
Yeah.
And they support the top 10 or 12 esports titles very, very well. They don't support fighting games. They don't support FIFA. They don't support the long tail of esports. So we've already spun up support for everything going on in the fighting game community, and we're doing that by partnering with a community member in the scene who's known for being the schedule guy. So we basically just brought him onto the team, and he's helping us support FGC. We have another guy who's just helping us fill in the gap. So we're doing Magic the Gathering, Halo, Apex, Gears of War, Madden. I'm just reading off our list. These are all esports that we are supporting ourselves. So it's a lot. But I think one of the unique advantages is that we do have the capability to do this. We do have the know-how, the connections to the community to allow us to hopefully support as many of the top esports as possible. And I think from our marketing materials on day one was we support 15 esports titles. A month later it was 20. A month later it was 25, and now we're actually more than 25 titles.
Okay, how do you decide which titles to choose? Is it based on, say, like the popularity of them? So it would make sense to obviously get your leagues and your Dotas initially. But also, how do you decide what an eSport is? For example, so say like all the auto battlers out right now that may not have fledging scenes at the moment, do you say, okay, we'll support that because in the future it seems like there's going to be an audience there? And what about, say, like Zwift, which is that like it's indoor cycling but it has a video game aspect to it and it has its own official league now? Does that class as an esport, like if that has a really good community but it's not really accepted? Like how do you decide these things?
So what you're trying to ask is Farming Simulator an esport?
Of course it is. It's got its own league, it's funded, you know, it's got a competitive format, it's got sponsored teams.
You just answered the question for me.
I'm a passionate FSL fan, unfortunately.
yeah so it's always going to be subjective. I don't think there's any objective metrics you can use. I don't think you could only look at prize pool. I don't think you can only look at viewership. I don't think you can only look at number of sponsored players and interest in the community. But I think we're kind of willing to support the long tail of esports because they don't even have an HLTV, right? Mm-hmm. Gears of War doesn't have an HLTV equivalent. So if we can help be that for that community, then I think we're doing a good service for them and bring them to our site, and we're going to benefit as well. So, I mean, just as an example, we have a Discord server. And we have a channel where people can request that we add events, and we got a request to support the OSU World Cup, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with OSU. It's a crazy rhythm game with like an infinite skill ceiling. And we said, yeah, of course we're going to support that. So I think that's also one of the biggest differentiators with Juked and any other esports platform out there is that, we're not just for the tier one. In fact, we're not just for tournaments either. We've started to aggregate esports talk shows. We want to do a podcast directory in the future. And we've started to do shows outside of just the tournaments as well. So I think like the vision is that no matter what time of day it is, no matter what day of the week it is, what time of the year it is, you can open Juked and you'll instantly find everything that's happening across the industry. And then if you want to drill down into any one game, you'll be able to do that too. So that's what we're still driving towards, that vision.
Okay. Okay,
I've got some work to do.
I've got a question you probably don't want to answer. So when I speak to people who are behind startups, which is quite often in esports at this point now, when I ask them about monetization, they always say, right, well, we're trying to nail down the exact premise of what we're doing and the angle and what we're doing, and then we'll think about the money afterwards. So they're operating on a, I don't know, X amount of months with no dosh, and eventually, hopefully, it brings some in. Is that similar for yourselves? Because are there any monetization options for yourself at the moment, or is that something that's coming later down the line? Or do you just want to do it for free forever and work in a shop in the meantime?
Well, I mean, that is the Silicon Valley way of doing things. It's just grow at all costs, and then someone will acquire you in 5 years, even if you're losing billions of dollars. Of course, like, everyone wants to have a good exit for their startup. We don't have any monetization on the site yet. In terms of how we plan to monetize, we do want to create a premium subscription model where users will be able to pay some small monthly fee to get extra features on the site, potentially extra content. We're not really sure yet. And ads. I mean, those are the two most obvious ways that we can monetize.
Yeah.
We're kind of tiptoeing around fantasy esports as a potential route for us in the future. There's a lot of obvious legal challenges with that. But, you know, if we have the best place to watch esports, then it makes sense to also have that kind of thing going. So I guess to answer your question, we have plans to make money. We don't want to be one of those startups that just operates in the red forever. At the same time, we need to create a product that has massive scale of users. So the number one thing that we are focused on today is just creating a better, more engaging product that people build a habit to come to every single day, or maybe not every single day, but every single weekend when all of the big esports events are happening, or whenever you want to watch esports, we want you to come to Juked. And that's what we need to nail first. Otherwise, monetization doesn't really matter because we don't have a big user base. That hopefully answers your question.
That's great. So yeah. I very much pride myself on transparency, right? In asking
yeah.
like good questions. So I won't ask for the minutiae, the exact details, but like, what's the growth been like month on month, like in terms of like the traffic to the website and such?
We went from closed beta into open beta, and that was a huge boon. We got some good PR. Thanks to Esports Insider for giving us a shout out. We got on ESPN, VentureBeat. That definitely gave us a boost. But what we're seeing right now is our traffic is super spiky. We'll go viral on Reddit. And we'll have a bunch of community people tweet about us. But we haven't figured out how to get those people coming back super regularly. So that's what we need to fix to really grow. Because I know how to do community marketing. My co-founder, we both have a lot of experience in content and original content, content marketing, viral marketing, social media. But we need to have sustainable growth that is not just spiky. So that's really our big challenge. I will say next weekend is, well, I guess the show is coming out on Tuesday. So this weekend is like insane, right? You've got LCS launching, LEC launching. It's the inaugural weekend for Call of Duty League. You've got Evo Japan. You've got Genesis, the biggest Smash Brothers tournament of the year. And you've got a Dota major all in the same weekend. And I think that is when our product is really like gets sexy. Like when you tune in and there's not much going on, it's like, okay, it's all right. You can find some cool stuff if you try. But weekends like that, or when we're really planning to ramp up marketing, user acquisition, planning to partner with people in the industry to help push the product. So I think we're looking, I'm super excited for this weekend. It's going to be very, very telling, because the last 8 weeks, there's been almost nothing to watch in esports. December and January are basically dead. But January 24th, everything changes. And then shortly after that, you've got Overwatch League starting, and the rest of the year is going to be insane. So I think we're looking towards this weekend as a big growth opportunity, and that'll be very telling for if we're on the right track or not.
Okay, no, that makes sense. So basically all of your traffic besides the calendar is like predicated on streams from other platforms, right? So like utilizing the things from other platforms, does that worry you at all? The fact that while obviously Duked is its own thing, it's like very much reliant on all of the live streaming websites and such around it in the industry.
Yes and no. I think it's important to emphasize that we're using the Twitch player and third-party players literally the exact same way that anyone else could. It's not like we're doing anything fancy or tricky or sneaky around it. Also, I was at Twitch for over 7 years, and the API and the video embed was so important every single year. I mean, I don't think it's ever going to be to the point where a Twitch is like, we want everyone to watch on Twitch. We're just going to kill our embeds. I don't think that's ever going to happen. It's too important of a growth lever for these platforms. And it was something that we invested heavily in. There was a whole team that was working on features so that it was as easy as possible to use the embed. So I think it's a long-winded way of me saying, like, it's obviously a concern, and it's something that when we talk to investors is a common topic, but I'm not concerned that we're ever going to be in a world where these major tech companies close out their embed players. And I guess like the last thing I'd add is, even in the hypothetical world that they did, we're building a lot that is also, you know, we're building a lot on top of that. And, you know, we have plans to build a lot more. You know, I think even in that eventuality, which I think is like a very, very long shot, you know, I think we're confident that we have a strategy that'll work in that world.
Okay. Okay. Ben, right. Very important question for you. Well, let me preface it by saying I've gone on record to say that esports fans are incredibly spoiled. Like, incredibly spoiled. Like, if they want to, mm-hmm. they can get absolutely everything for free. Right. Yep. And while we could go on about every aspect of that, like the most relevant one obviously is being able to watch full HD, amazing content surrounding events. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I can watch ESL One Cologne for absolute free. Like, watch all the mm-hmm. expert analysis around it, everything on one stream, not move a muscle, not pay a thing. Like, I think that will change in the future because monetization needs to happen, because this industry can't stay afloat on $0 or $5 per the average fan or whatever the metric is that's thrown about at the moment. Do you think that's needed? Do you think that would make things complicated for Duked? Do you share my sentiment that fans are spoiled in this way? What do you think about the whole thing of, yeah, like the pay-per-view should be a thing where you get added benefits? You should be able to watch for free, but like you should also be able to pay to get added benefits to watching. What do you think on that?
Oh, I'm glad you brought this up, because I think I love talking about this. I think I've had 100 conversations about this exact topic. And I think it's one of the most important things in the 2020s, over this next decade, that we're going to have to see ultimately, because esports fans are incredibly spoiled. They are getting everything for free, and there's no sign of that changing. It's funny, Adam, because in 2010, when esports was booming, when it was growing for the first time, like since it died basically in 2008, it was having this revitalization. It was like a phoenix moment. Esports was primarily a marketing tool, right, mm-hmm. for publishers and developers.
Yeah.
Over the course of the next 5 years, I would argue, there was not a single publisher or developer which actually even had the ambition to make esports its own standalone business that was sustainable on its own. It was a marketing expense.
Of course.
And I think that was fine. Since 2015, I think over the last 5 years, we've seen that substantially change. Obviously, Riot and League of Legends is probably way ahead of the pack on this. They have talked publicly about how they want all of their leagues to be sustainable, revenue-generating parts of their business. Overwatch League, CDL, franchising in general is a huge step in this direction. They want to make standalone businesses out of their esports. That said, you will never be able to convince me that esports isn't still a form of marketing for those games.
Oh, 100%.
And I think this is the primary reason why esports monetization is lacking, is because it's heavily subsidized to this day by the publishers and developers, and it hasn't really needed to grow to that level. Now, is that a way that this industry can grow long term? I think it'll continue to grow, but for esports to truly mature, we do have to start generating way more revenue from individual users. So there are a lot of ways that that can happen. Pay-per-view is one. I much prefer the Valve method of super fans can pay for additional items, additional content, skins, whatever, the compendium model. To me, I'm blown away every single year that more esports leagues don't just either copy the compendium model outright or do something very similar, because it makes a ton of money for Valve. Valve actually, I don't know the full metrics, but I wouldn't be surprised if they actually make money on TI, even though they're renting out a gigantic stadium for 10 days. They make $80 million on the compendium. And that money flows to the teams. So I think that there are ways of closing this revenue gap, specifically when it comes to selling in-game items, in-game merchandise, maybe out-of-game merchandise too, as a means of allowing viewers to spend money to get content without doing straight-up pay-per-view where you can't watch without paying. So I just talked for 5 minutes, so
no, that's good. That's the point of a podcast, mate. So the entire point of it is to speak, you know. And I don't even like the sound of my own voice, so no one else really cares about what I have to say too much. It's all my guests, you know.
Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity to rant, because I'll do it anytime.
Anytime. Yeah. I mean, I can rant on my own videos, you know. So this is where I sit down, shut up, and learn something, you know. So with that in mind, we both agree that there should be like a basic stream at least, or like still a good stream that's for free, but with additional benefits if you want to pay. So therefore, if that model was to be undertaken going forward, then it wouldn't affect Duke at all anyway, surely. So you should be fine on that.
Hopefully we can help be that catalyst to help make that happen. I think that's one of my secret, it's not secret anymore, shit. That's one thing I'd love nothing more than for Juke to help close this gap, be part of closing that gap, and drive more revenue from users and viewers. Yeah.
Okay. I know this is irrelevant to the chat we've had mostly, but you brought up franchise leagues and we're on about not making money and stuff, right? And one of the topics is rather fucking boring at this point, but still it's worth getting your insight on the whole... Are we in a bubble? Is esports going to crash entirely? Is it going to have another death? What's your take on that? I don't think so. I think there's probably a course correction coming. If the Overwatch League dies, for example, gets cancelled, I don't think the industry is fucked. I just don't. I think it just sends a signal out to potential investors in the future that esports is not a good investment. I don't think that we're in such a dire spot where if one thing goes, then the bubble pops, you know, and there's nothing left. What do you think on that?
I completely agree, and I could be wrong, but I don't think even the sky is falling doom and gloom people out there who think Overwatch League is the worst thing to happen in esports history and CDL is going to be even worse. Even those people, I don't think that they actually believe that this is going to kill esports or like have such a big bubble pop that it would like really substantially damage the industry for decades to come. No, I don't actually think anyone believes that. Now, I'm concerned about Overwatch League with declining viewership in season 2. We don't even know where it's going to be streamed yet. Is Twitch going to pay the license fee? Overwatch itself is not doing well. I'm concerned about CDL. Call of Duty has never actually had consistent esports viewership ever. They've peaked at over 100,000 viewers for tournaments before, or maybe even 200,000, but like that's not a lot. That's okay. So I'm concerned, but I feel the same as you, that I think even the worst possible case scenario, that in 2 years Activision Blizzard just stops doing esports, and like this entire part of the ecosystem dies and goes away, and all these investors feel burnt and they never come back. Even in that case, esports is, it's only going to be a temporary dip, and I think it'll come right back. I mean, it's I don't know, all the generic shit that that you're hear from analysts and hear on panels, but like, you know, the global population is getting more internet connected. The gaming is growing, like esports and gaming are growing at the same time. Esports has been growing exponentially, and I expect it to continue to. And I think one thing that I love thinking about is like, I have a bunch of friends in the industry who are having children now. They're getting pregnant. they're going to raise the next generation of esports fans who grow up with this as a medium. So yeah. I'm not doom and gloom. Course correction, absolutely. Most people expect it. I'm with most people on that. Serious concern, I guess. But doom and gloom, absolutely not.
Serious.
No, I'm not. I'm personally not super concerned. Like I'm a little worried about Call of Duty League, but
I will say, yeah, as a Call of Duty guy, like I basically found esports through Call of Duty. I fully, yeah, say if it wasn't for Call of Duty, I don't know if I'd have been interested in esports. I would have discovered it eventually, of course, but like, I don't know if I'd be interested in it in the level that I became. And I'm probably its biggest critic right now. I've had a few people say it should be positive. It's the new year, and then I insult them, then I get banned on Twitter. But nonetheless, like I'm actually being positive by calling shit out because I want it to succeed. And I you know, I mean, it's strange. So we're getting all the people that at least think they know that about esports, like me. I think I know the industry. Like I probably don't, but we're all rather hesitant and, as you say, concerned and a bit apprehensive about it and how everything's coming about. But the reason we're calling it out and holding it accountable is because we want it to succeed. We want Overwatch League, mm-hmm, to do well with its format, which is the real test for the league, really. The first 2 years feel like a warm-up now, and then this is actually going, mm-hmm, like fulfilling the concept that they had initially. Call of Duty League going straight into it. As you say, it's never had amazing numbers, never had amazing viewership. So and then they've got rid of, like... I guess Optic Gaming still exists, but not really. So, like, that's the big force in Call of Duty, kind of gone. FaZe is kind of there, but not really. Envy's kind of there, but not really. You know, it's a very weird time for it. And yeah, I think it's a real big test. And but as you say, even if it fails, it's not going to be the end of everything. But so I want to just quickly off topic, something less serious before we get into another serious topic, which will kind of close out the podcast. I just want to know, what do you think is going to be the biggest esports title in 2020? What's going to be the game, or maybe not the biggest, or what's going to have the most explosive growth, or which one's going to prove itself as the next tier one?
I think everyone's probably going to say Rocket League on the tip of their tongue. It's a beautiful game. It did well last year. I'm a guy that looks at numbers a lot. Mm-hmm. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but 2019 was not bigger than 2018 for Rocket League. So a lot of people watch Rocket League and they see these amazing moments and they are amazing. But I'm not seeing a growth trajectory that puts Rocket League on tier one level at this point. And I'd be happy to be proven wrong because I think it's a great game and it deserves to be tier one. You know, I have a really hard time believing that any esport is going to go from, I mean, tier one, tier two is like super subjective terms that don't mean anything. Yeah. I feel like we all are talking about the same thing, but we could be completely talking about different things. But I mean, Call of Duty has the best chance in my opinion, because of Call of Duty League, because of the investment, because of the structure that is going to be put around the game, because the game still sells 10 million copies every single year. But I don't really see the top. I don't see any of them getting into like that top four. And when I say tier one, I think obviously League of Legends, Dota 2, Counter-Strike, and then Overwatch.
You'd put Overwatch in tier one.
Well,
that's what I mean. It is subjective, and that proves your point. Because I'd be like, I don't. If you go by money, then
potential. I mean, viewer. Yeah, I mean, but... I'm a viewer. I'm super biased towards viewership. Being at Twitch for almost 8 years, oh, viewership is the number one thing. And like, yeah, like talk shit on Overwatch as much as you want. Doesn't change the fact that the regular season got 80, 90, 100K viewers almost every single broadcast day for many months. So that's like substantial viewership. I mean, Rocket League doesn't even come close. So, I mean, the regular season in 2019 did very well, but it's still not on the same level. So, yeah, I just rambled a lot. You know what? I'll flip your positive outlook question and have a negative outlook. What the hell is going on with Apex Legends? No one seems to care about that game anymore.
No, well, obviously,
if you asked me 6 months ago, I would say Apex, but
yeah. Well, they've announced the global series now, right?
Yeah,
and I think that's getting underway soon. I think they've actually pushed back some of the qualifiers. I don't really pay too much attention on that, but I mean, they brought in another Legion as a sponsor. I assume there's more on the way. So companies still believe in it, at least at the moment, whether it's long term or short term, nobody knows because they never release these fucking details. It's a strange one. I don't know if it was ever built for esports, realistically. I know even though a game can be competitive, and which it is, like obviously you want to be the last team standing in that, right? You and your two teammates want to be the ones winning, of course, or else you wouldn't be playing. But I don't know if that inherently means it needs to be an esport. That needs to be watched in a stadium and online on Twitch, like with hundreds of thousands of people watching. I don't know. The growth was it went from zero to like being the biggest game in the world, overtaking Fortnite and all the hype that went there. But then I think Fortnite's kind of created an environment where games need to update themselves every week,
exactly.
every couple of weeks, or else fans are going to get bored now. Like, the attention span's actually gotten worse with games, like in a post-Fortnite environment, really. So I think it suffered from that. Just like fans got bored because you can only play one map and the map hadn't changed in like months. But they've introduced a new map, right? They've got new legends coming in. They've got this global series. So I don't know. I see this. I don't know. If it's going to work, then we'll find out in the next few months, I guess. If nobody cares about the first big major that they have, which I think is at the Esports Stadium Arlington. If nobody cares about that, then they'll probably change course a bit to reduce the amount of cost that they're going to accrue from everything, and they'll just settle for the fact that it's not going to work, but we'll play out the first season and then we'll look towards the next title. I would assume that's my take on it. But it's been very interesting to watch because everyone dubbed it like the Fortnite killer at the beginning, right?
Yeah. Well, do they still have that character with the electric fences? Cause
I believe so.
I did try to tune in to a couple of esports events for Apex, and every single game ended with people just camping in tunnels with electric fences on every side. And I'm like, okay, that character needs to be deleted. It's like Arisa level bad for the gameplay. Like, yeah, not good.
No, it's not good. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. I don't know. I think that's probably, I'll never watch it, but I'll watch from afar like I do with most games and see what's going on there and see how that goes. But I guess that's somewhat part of the job. So I've got one more topic that I would love your take on. And it all starts with a little agency that basically started the streaming wars, orchestrated it all from behind the scenes by itself, and has kind of caused something like incredible to happen by putting monetary values on streamers, and that's Loaded. Obviously representing a lot of the biggest personalities and influencers and gamers in the industry today. So with Ninja moving to Mixer, and then Shroud going Mixer, and then we've got Courage at YouTube, we've got Valkyrie just gone to YouTube as well, blah, 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 blah. Everyone's moving, everyone's shifting. Streaming platforms are coming in, $1 million deals and plus to try and get these streamers in for 2-3 years. Loaded's behind it seemingly, has orchestrated this whole thing just to get itself more money because of the money it gets from these deals being signed. It's very clever, but what it started, I feel like, will kind of reverberate into esports, and then events will also get involved in such streaming wars, right? You've got to imagine YouTuber or Mixer or Caffeine or whoever, Facebook, are looking at the LEC, which is undergoing amazing growth. Like, every move it's made has been amazing so far, perhaps if you ignore the... Putting the casters as freelancers. Now, that's not ideal, really. But, I mean, besides that, everything they've done since rebranding from EU LCS to LEC is amazing. So I can imagine them being snapped up if possible, but maybe that's a big deal where they want the LCS to be part of a package deal there with Riot Games trying to get money. You know, like, the whole landscape could shift all because of Loaded orchestrating this thing. I want to get your take on it all, obviously, with your experience at Twitch, and things will have changed since then, and... But I imagine these kind of deals are going on behind the scenes, just not publicly beforehand, where they were locking in some creators. What's your take on the whole streaming wars thing?
It's certainly ramped up, but it's nothing new. I mean, people kind of talk about this as if it's like some revolutionary new idea that Popdog and Loaded came up with. I mean, Twitch streamers were getting poached as long as Twitch was a thing. It was Own3D, and it was YouTube with YouTube Gaming, and it was MLG.TV, if anyone remembers that. Oh,
unfortunately, I remember that.
Yeah, and now I think it's a little different, because back then, everyone came back. Everyone. You went to Own3D, and you lost 70, 80% of your viewership, and then you came back to 2 years later. That's what happened every single time. Mm-hmm. I remember when Nadeshot came back from MLG.TV to Twitch for the first time. He had like 120,000 viewers. It was like insane. Yeah. Now, I think we're maybe to a point where this is going to start to change, because I think you can have a more sustainable career on these other platforms now. I think gaming viewership and esports viewership is big enough that it can sustain multiple platforms. In the same breath, I'll also mention that Shroud has lost 80% of his viewers over on Mixer.
Ridiculous drop off, yeah.
Yeah, huge. Utterly huge. So, I mean, shoot, what else can I say about it? I mean,
do you think that it'll bleed over into esports and go into events and tournaments and stuff? And do you think that's a good thing for the scene? I personally think having this demand for these events will help a lot. But I don't think people are actually contemplating that too much, or at least there's not a public conversation about that really going on.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. It's been very head-scratching that it's only been streamers. I think the notion has been that streamers are much better bang for your buck to acquire a streamer than it is to acquire an esports league, because somebody like Ninja or somebody like Shroud can actually get the same number of hours watched as like Overwatch League. Yeah. And even though Overwatch League has 100,000 viewers 4 days a week for 6 months, Shroud has 30,000 viewers 7 days a week for 12 months. So it's cheaper in a way to bid for streamers than it is for esports. So that's been the notion. Now, I think that's going to change. I think in the next 3 months, we'll see a major esport go exclusively to another platform, potentially. The only thing that makes me think that isn't going to happen is the exact topic that we had earlier in the conversation, which is that for publishers, as much as they want their esports to be standalone businesses, it's still marketing. And if you're not on Twitch, you're not going to get as many viewers. It's just, unless it's Clash Royale on YouTube or some Brazilian or Latin American or Southeast, if it's a Brazilian mobile game or you're in Southeast Asia, like, sure, go to YouTube, go to Facebook, you'll be fine. But if you're any of the main, I don't know, top 15 Western esports titles, I think if you went to another platform exclusively, you're going to lose a lot of viewership. Now, I think an interesting topic here is actually just non-exclusivity. We've seen the majority of esports deals lately have been going non-exclusive. Things like Face It, ECS used to be exclusive to YouTube for a while, and then ESL tried a bunch of things with Facebook. They're all going non-exclusive, which I think is better for the consumer and maybe better for the leagues long-term, just to get bigger potential reach. Now, selfishly, I'm okay with leagues going to Mixer, because that helps Juked, honestly, if the leagues go exclusively to one platform or the other, because we can aggregate all of those. So I would expect it to happen, but there is going to be that nagging thing in the back of your head if you're making that deal, if you're any publisher, that's you're going to get less viewers. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Going to a different platform outside of Twitch will hurt your viewership at this point.
Yeah, I never thought about how like the fragmentation of I guess like esports events, because as you say, it's almost in the West, at least, it almost exclusively Twitch now, after the little experiments on Facebook and YouTube, how much that would actually help Duked. Like, that would be incredible for you to be the place where, if you still want to see all of these in one place, then you come here, you know? So,
exactly.
From a selfish point of view, yeah, and supporting you, I hope that happens. Also, from supporting the industry and wanting people and companies to actually make money, and for this to be a demand there, which would then drive the prices up, I hope it bloody happens. It's just a matter of time until we see it happen, I think. Actually, in 2019, I think, earlier on, like Na'Vi, I think they partnered with Caffeine, so they're streaming exclusively on there. Dignitas may have done the same thing. So we kind of saw teams mingling with that stuff, but you never really see too much about it after the initial announcement, you know, because as you said, just the viewership isn't there, and I don't think any other platform's got it in them to do anything about it, and bringing in just like Ninja and Shroud isn't gonna cut it and force everyone to jump ship, you know. It's a weird one.
Yeah, the one thing I'd look out for with Mixer is just integration with Xbox. That could actually help Mixer break through to a bigger audience, and then I think in that eventuality, you know, we could see some more traction on some of these other platforms. But Facebook, no, no, dude, it's not happening. That experience is so horrible to watch on Facebook. I never would go to watch Facebook to watch a stream. So,
well, I'll tell you what, when the H1Z1 Pro League was about, that was on Facebook, right? And I was obviously never going to watch it live, but I went to actually just go check out the page and see how everything was, because like VODs on YouTube are fine, VODs on Twitch are okay, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they're okay.
Yeah, they're okay.
That's
they're
all
okay.
I can say. Yeah. But like, so I wanted to see how it was on Facebook, and I don't know if this was an H1Z1 Pro League problem. It probably was, to be honest. Let's be real. But it was just so inconsistent. So you'd find like day one, week one, and you'd be able to watch all of that, and then it'd be like day two of week one, but it'll be split into different games, and it'd be like entirely inconsistent all over the shop. And it's like, well, your league's already hard enough to watch. Like, if I can't go back and actually watch it and know what the fuck I'm doing, then there's no hope at all. And I don't think Facebook really helps with that. They haven't got kind of the infrastructure there or like the setup to actually accommodate these things, as well as the dedicated platforms which solely deal in streaming, you know.
Yep.
So yeah, as you say, Facebook, I don't hold much stock in that. I think Zero, Tempo Storm, Zero went over there, but
and Disguised Toast.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's just for the money, but I mean, there we go. It's not because they can go, yes, Facebook, I'm gonna, it's such a lucrative deal outside of this, like all the viewers I'm gonna get is gonna be amazing, you know.
What if Mark Zuckerberg promised Disguised Toast like a notification in like everyone's feed? Suddenly 2.2 billion people see a notification for Zero. Maybe that's what they negotiate.
They click it to see what he's playing, and then all of the people who think watching video games is for weird nerds but watch sports.
Oh yeah.
Funnily, hilariously, they will click off straight away.
They're gonna talk crap in the chat. It's gonna be horrible.
Yeah. I love when like Overwatch League was on ESPN or ABC and you just see all the complete boomers just going absolutely mental at it, but then they're like, I want to watch something real, I'm gonna watch wrestling, like, and it's just like, come on, like, do you realize how ridiculous this is?
I see that you're a connoisseur of Slasher's tweets as well.
You mean
during those times? Yeah. No.
Oh,
no?
Oh yeah, 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 of course. Yeah, I thought you meant now. I was like, nah, you haven't really got much for me, decent enough bloke, but nah. But yeah, from back then, yeah, just seeing the old angry people going off is amazing, and it's almost sad to know that I'm turning into one of those as well. I'm turning into one of the old angry people. Oh mate, you'll be surprised. But I don't want to take up any more of your time. We're roughly at the time limit. I like to keep it. I just want to say thank you very much, Ben, for joining me. This is your time to plug yourself. You do you. Advertise yourself, advertise your platform, do whatever you wish. Call someone out. I don't know, confess your love for somebody. You do you. It's your stage now.
Oh man, I actually really appreciate coming on the show. I will rant about esports at any time. All I need is the slightest mention of an opportunity, and I'll be there. But it's also great timing for Juked as well, because this weekend is the true start of the esports on season. We've been 2 full months with like basically nothing to watch, and that all changes this weekend. So all I ask is that if you're listening to this and Juked sound interesting to you, this weekend when you do look to tune in to see what's happening in LEC, LCS, CDL, Dream League, Genesis, whatever, come to Juked and check out and see if you like watching there. We have a newsletter which we send every Thursday, which breaks down the top 5-ish events to watch every weekend. And if you register on the site, you'll get that too. And that's all I could ask. Check out Juked. We'd love for you to get your feedback. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And hopefully we're solving needs for esports fans at all levels of the spectrum, whether you're kind of hardcore or you're a newcomer. If you're listening to this, you're probably pretty hardcore, but give it a look, and looking forward to hearing from you. I'm Fishsticks on Twitter. Hit me up anytime.
There we go. So thank you again, Ben. I appreciate it. To everybody who's watched or listened, you know what to do. Give it a like if you want. I don't really care too much about that. Feel free to subscribe if you want. I also don't care too much about that. What I do care about is follow me on Twitter and encourage me not to get banned by arguing with plebs, please. So if you ever see me about to engage with somebody who's chatting utter shit, then just tweet me or DM me just saying stop. Please just encourage me to do that. That's all I care about anymore, because I went a week without Twitter and I can't live.
You so actually got banned?
I got banned, yes. I will tell you why after the podcast, yeah, when we're not recording, okay. I will tell you. But yeah, please follow me on Twitter, by Adam Fitch. I'm everywhere by Adam Fitch. Thank you again, and I'll see you in a week's time for the next episode. Cheers.